Appreciate the choice of songs tonight. Brother Cokeen didn't know what I was going to speak on, and I nearly fell out of my chair when we sang the first song, because the title of the message I want to bring you tonight is He is Worthy. He is Worthy. Dr. Bob Jones Sr., he is the founder of a university in America called Bob Jones University. But Bob Jones Sr. used to say a very interesting statement. What he said was simply this. He said, to do less than your best is sin. That's a good statement. To do less than your best is sin. And the reason why that statement is a good statement, and the reason why it's a true statement, is because of the principle that we find in the book of James, chapter 4, and verse number 17. If you have your Bibles, turn there. We're going to be looking at a lot of verses tonight, and I hope that you'll try to follow along. If you can't find them all, if you'll just write them down, or stick them in your iPad there, Jen Long, okay. Yeah. But anyway, just write them down, make a note of them, and then you can look them up later, okay? But James chapter 4, verse number 17, the Bible says this. It says, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him, what is it? It's a sin. If we know that something is good, but we do not do it, or we do not do it to the best of our ability, then that's a sin. That's a sin. And because of this simple truth, during this week at camp, it has been the desire and it's been the design of each of the lessons that have been given to you to stress the importance of what was called the X factor. The X factor. And of course, the key verse for the week was... Okay, Russell, what was it? Where are you, Russell? Okay. Okay, you got the reference. Now tell me what it says. Very good. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And so you remember you were given an acrostic, right? X factor. And you remember, I'm not going to re-preach Brother Edwin's sermons. We'll be here till 1 o'clock in the morning, and I understand that y'all want to throw water at one another. But anyway, I'm not going to re-preach his messages, but let me just kind of run through them real quick, at least show you what I got out of the messages, and kind of refresh your memory by way of that. X stands for excellence, remember? Stands for excellence. And of course, the excellence simply means that we do the very best that we can, whether it's in our studies at school, or whether it's in the workplace and the jobs that we may hold, or whether it's in our Christian life. We ought to always seek for excellence. We ought to desire to excel in everything that we do. And so we talked about X, and then we saw F. F had to do with faith. Excellent in faith. And this excellent faith is simply a faith that is trusting in God alone for our salvation. And of course, the reality of that faith is seen in the works that we do. And so we saw excellent faith. And then we saw the letter A, which was an excellent attitude. Excellent attitude. And the excellent attitude is simply an attitude that recognizes that we are a living sacrifice. We're a living sacrifice. And the result of that understanding, the result of that knowledge, is seen in the fact that we humbly die to self and desire to live totally for God. That's the excellent attitude that every Christian ought to have. And then we saw, of course, letter C is an excellent Christ focus. An excellent Christ focus. You remember the song, Who's the King of the Jungle? Who's the King of the Sea? Blah, 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 blah. Who's the King of the Universe? Most importantly, who's the King of me? Who's the King of me? And you remember we saw how that Christ is to be the king of our lives, and we're to focus on Him as our number one priority. our number one priority. Excellent toiling, letter T. Excellent toiling. In other words, working in an excellent way. Striving to take advantage of every opportunity that God gives to us to serve Him. Excellent toiling. And then we saw letter A, excellent obedience. Excellent obedience. Doing everything God commands. That's excellent obedience. But not only doing everything God commands, but doing everything God commands in the way God commands. You see, it's possible to do the right thing, but do it in the wrong way. And so it's not only important for us to obey God's commands, but we must obey God's command in the way He commands us to obey. And then in the last session, you remember, we saw the letter R, excellent relationships. Excellent relationships. And of course, we heard how that we're to have excellent relationships with one another. And of course, the way we do that is by focusing on Jesus Christ. And you remember the triangle that Brother Edwin showed us there. And the truth of the matter is, if two people will focus on Christ instead of each other, if two people will focus on Christ instead of each other, you know what happens? As they focus on Christ, they draw closer to Christ, right? But notice what happens automatically. As they draw closer to Christ, they grow closer to one another. That's an excellent relationship. But not only are we to have excellent relationships with one another, we need to understand that excellent relationships with one another are dependent on an excellent relationship with God. And so that is to be the priority in our life, to have an excellent relationship with Him. We ought to desire to have the X factor working in our life. We ought to desire that. But I want to turn this thing around a little bit during this last session. I want to turn this around by asking a question. And my question is simply this: why is God worthy of our best? Think about it. Why is God worthy of our best? Why is He worthy of us going through the trouble to try to serve Him and live for Him in an excellent way? Why is He worthy of that? Why is He worthy of that? In other words, why should we even be concerned about doing what the Apostle Paul commanded? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul gave us a very clear command. And the command is this: whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Why should that be a concern to us? Why should we even bother to think about the X factor in bringing worship and glory and praise and honor to our God? Well, I want to suggest four things, just very quickly. First of all, we ought to desire to serve Him in an excellent way because of His excellent power. Because of His excellent power. One of the clearest proofs of God's excellent power is seen in His creation. The Bible says in the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." God created the heaven and the earth. In the book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19, the Bible says, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding He hath established the heavens." The Bible says in the book of John 1, verse 1 down to verse number 3, "In the beginning was the Word." Now you'll notice there, if you look it up in your Bible, the word is actually capitalized. The reason why it is capitalized is because it is a proper name. It's a proper name. The word there is actually another name for Jesus Christ. If you look at John chapter 1, verse number 14, you'll see that it was the Word who was made flesh and dwelt among us. So this word here is another name for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now listen to this, verse number 3. All things. Now I'm not a Greek scholar, but I checked this out in a Greek dictionary, and you know what I learned? I learned that phrase there, all things. You know what that means? It means all things. It's everything. Listen to it. All things were created by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The Apostle Paul wrote, Colossians chapter 1, verse number 16, "For by Him," and if you read the context, talking about Jesus Christ again, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven," that's way up yonder, "that are on the earth," that's what we see around us, "visible, invisible," whether you can see it or can't see it, doesn't matter. "Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, makes absolutely no difference. All things were created by Him and for Him." God is the Creator. Now I realize there might be some who would say, "Well, Pastor Crocker, you know, there really, that's kind of old-fashioned. That's kind of old-fashioned. You know, modern science. Modern science teaches, you know, that millions and millions and billions of years ago, all matter was consisted in one little speck. Nobody knows where it came from. Nobody knows how it got there. But it was there. And it began to spin. Nobody knows why. But it began to spin, and as it spun faster and faster and faster, it began to heat up until it exploded. Boom! That's why they call it Big Bang. Boom! And all the matter of the universe came out of that one little speck of densely compacted matter. Millions of years passed. The earth, what would become known as earth, it wasn't called earth back then, but it began to cool. And there were oceans. Nobody knows where the water came from, but anyway, there were oceans there. Let's don't get bogged down in facts, okay? But there were oceans, and nobody knows where the water came from, but there were oceans there. And for millions of years, those oceans went. And they created wade pools. And in those wade pools, after millions of years, all of a sudden, as the waters washed against the rocks, there was a chemical reaction, and there was a little single cell was formed. And that single cell began to multiply, and it began to grow. And after millions and millions and millions of years, those little cells finally figured out how to become a polywog. And one day that polywog, after millions of years of swimming around the ocean, got bored. He had seen it all. He had been from Singapore to Los Angeles. He'd seen everything. And so he got bored, and so he said, "You know what? I wonder what's up on the dry land." And so the little polywog grew some legs. And he crawled up on the shore. And after millions and millions and millions of more years, he one day climbed a tree, became a monkey. And as he was swinging through the trees one day, after millions and millions of years, he was swinging through the tree one day when his tail broke off. And he fell to the ground, walked across the street to the great Singapore cell, bought a suit of clothes, got a job as a college professor. And that's the story of evolution in about a million seconds.